Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, thank you for this meeting today. Father, we are here by your mercies. Please speak to us. Direct us. Direct this meeting. And Father, please let your word come forth with spirit and in power. Let your word come forth, Father, demonstrating your spirit, Father, and showcasing your power. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, beloved. Brother Joshua here again by the mercies of God. Still on the 30-fold Saul, the righteous. The righteous. The first kind of believer using this metric of measurement. Beloved, I hope you've been listening, or you have listened to the previous episode, because everything is a line upon line, precept upon precept. Just jumping in the middle would not be very beneficial. It's a line upon line, because that's how the Lord teaches us. And I've been learning myself. So jumping in just based on the title of the particular episode would be, in my humble opinion, you may not be getting the best from this series. Isaiah 28, verse 10, or let me start from 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach with knowledge? This is the Lord that is being spoken of. Whom? Isaiah 28:9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. It's not for babies. But verse 10 now tells us his methodology. Verse 10 says, for precept must be upon precept. Precept, he repeats it, upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So when God is teaching us things, he's deliberate, he's gradual, he builds. He doesn't just start us from the rooftop. It's good to see how he laid a foundation and how he put the pillars in place and how he built the walls up before that shining roof on top. Anyways, let me pick up from where we stopped at the last episode. We were speaking still about the 30-fold Saul. who we have called the righteous. Now, let's look at Luke 19. We're going to read from verse 11 to verse 27. Because don't forget now, in the parable of the sower, the seed that fell on four different kinds of soil was the same. There was no GMO seed, genetically modified seed on one, and a high-producing hybrid seed on another, and a, you know, dead seed on yet another. No. The Word of God is the Word of God. The Word of God is potent. It is, it has no, should I say, variation. It is as it was, so it is now, and so it will be. Because we know that Jesus is the Word of God. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know, Hebrews 4 and 12, that the Word of God is quick, meaning it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that. So it's not that the Word, the seed, Jesus identified that in the parable of the sower, that the seed is the Word of God. It's not that the Word that fell on the ground as by the wayside was dead or was a little powerful or it was dull, it wasn't sharp. No, it's none of that. Or maybe it was that the seed, the Word that fell on the good ground, that was the best seeds that were fresh, and they were pre-treated with fertilizer, so they just sprang and were going like they were pre-programmed, as it were, to succeed. No, the seed that fell on the good ground, on the ground with thorns, the rocky ground, and the one by the wayside was the same. And don't forget now. It is after the harvest. It is at harvest time that the identification of the different grounds were set. The seed was sown, Then when it was harvest time, we saw that there were four kinds. On the wayside, nothing germinated, zero. On the soil with rocks, we'll see the carcasses of seeds that sprouted, but the heat killed. They're dead. Then, on the ground with thorns at harvest time, we see all this vegetation, but it's a mixture of thorns, weeds, and a crop from the seed. It's an admixture, because the thorns and the weeds have choked the plants that sprouted from the seed. But on the good ground, we see the plant from the seed, no weeds, because if there were weeds, they would have choked the plant, like the ground with thorns. We see the in the good ground, we see the plant from the seeds carrying a bumper harvest. Then on looking at those carrying this bumper harvest, we see, or Jesus tells us, I should say, in his word, and we see it when he describes the imagery, that among those plants from the seed with a bumper harvest, he could delineate somewhere 30-fold, somewhere 60-fold, and somewhere 100-fold. So what are we saying? We're saying that this source, these grounds, all receive the same seed. So let's read Luke 19, verse 11 to 27. Like I said, it's maybe a long read, but I'm not going anywhere. That's why we're here. And verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear, or should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, that pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, verse 18 now, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy mouth, thy own mouth, I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone that has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Now, there are a few things I want us to note in this parable. A few things. It says here that he he called his 10 servants, Luke 19:13, and gave them 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. And said unto them, well, let me address that first. It means there is an equality in what he gave to the 10 servants. If he had 10 servants and he gave them 10 pounds, means they all had 1 pound each. Yeah. And I know. Don't be confused, beloved. Don't worry. I know there's another rendition of this parable, and we'll get to that shortly. We'll get to that. Now, it says, 10 servants give them 10 pounds. And we can hear them say afterwards that they say, thy pound has gained. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying here that there is a measure of equality in what each and every one of us receives. Okay, look at Psalm 33, verse 13 to 15. Psalms 33, verse 13 to 15. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 15, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. He's saying here that God has made the hearts of all men the same way. What are we doing with our hearts? There is a sense that everybody has the same thing because the word of God is the same. The seed that was sown on the soils was the same. But like we read, the soils produced differently. The same way these men produce differently. We also see that in Romans 12 verse 3. The Bible says, Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure. So God has a measurement. You know, the way you have the measurement of a cup or the measurement of a gallon. It's a fixed measurement in a certain sense, as it were. Now, God has given to every man the measure of faith. Because the ground that has 30, 60, and 100 fold didn't get supersized faith. And the ground that is the wayside soil didn't get substandard faith. That's the point we're getting to. No, they got the same kind of faith. What they did with the word, what fruit they had from the word, was what distinguished the souls. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me leave that and move on. Now we also see the same Luke 19 verse 33. He said unto them, to his servants, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Who are his servants? Talking to his church. You need to occupy. that involves activity on our part, because Daddy has commanded us to occupy. Verse 14 says, but his citizens hated him and sent a word after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Who are the citizens? Well, that's the world. My Bible tells me in Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they. He owns the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So, and we also see, I believe that's Psalm 2, where it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vanity? They imagine a vain thing. That's Psalm 2 from verse 1. Verse 2 now says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We can't let the Lord and his anointed rule over us. That's the world. Luke 19:14, the world is saying, we won't have this man reign over us. Okay, we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. That blesses me because the servants are acknowledging that it wasn't their pound. It was the Lord's pound. Mm-hmm. If they didn't have the Lord's pound, they can't bring forth fruit from any pound because they are zero by themselves. That's why Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So, they're saying, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. Verse 18, the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. It's thy pound, it's not my pound. It's thy gift, it's not my gift. It's your spirit, it's not my spirit. It's you, Lord. It's thy pound has gained. Then we see another verse 20 of that Luke chapter 19 says, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in the napkin. Mm-hmm. Here is thy pound. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't produce anything from it. The same way you gave it to me, the same way I'm giving it back to you. Now, the other, I hope you get that, beloved. The differentiation of the reception or the recipients of the pound, the recipients of the seed. Again, I know we're jumping from one imagery to another, but they all say the same thing. What was given and received was the same. It was 1 pound. It was 1 pound, 1 pound, 1 pound. It was the same seed that was sown in all the different grounds, but the different grounds produce fruit differently. Those grounds that produced. We see that the servants, the one that came with the 1 pound and said, "Here's what I kept," and take it back, we see that he doesn't have an honest and good heart, which we read is characteristic of the good ground. He doesn't have an honest and good heart. We see that. Because he is here in verse 21 of Luke 19, judging his master, saying, "You are an austere man," accusing his master, accusing his God, in our case, of reaping where he didn't sow. Can you imagine that? That's what he said, Luke 19:21. "For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man." You're a hard man. You're a tough man. I dare say, probably a wicked man too. You take up what you didn't keep, what you didn't lay down, and you reap where you didn't sow. So we can see that this servant doesn't have an honest heart. He doesn't have a good heart. The master that gave the servants pounds that they did not deserve, they didn't earn, they didn't work for, they didn't ask for, he called them and gave them his pound. Mm-hmm. The same way Jesus came and gave his life. And now we have his life in us, free of charge. Free of charge, we have his life. But what are we doing with his life? Oh well. We can see that this servant that returned the pound didn't have an honest heart, didn't have a good heart, and he did not keep the word that he heard. Don't forget now the character, one major characteristic of the good ground, Luke 8:15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And don't forget now, the fruit is the replica of what was planted. Let me say that again. The fruit is the replica of what was planted. If you plant a coconut seed, the fruit is a coconut seed. It's that simple, beloved. It's that simple. If you plant an orange seed, the fruit is an orange. It's not a pineapple. It's not a banana. It's not an olive. No, it's not a fig. If you plant an orange, your fruit is an orange. I'm sorry, I sound juvenile, but I'm trying to kind of state the obvious. Because some of us don't necessarily think about the obvious. Luke 8:15. "In an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." This servant that returned the pound didn't have an honest heart. He didn't have a good heart. Did not keep the word that he heard. What was the word that he heard? Luke 19:13. Occupy. What does occupy mean? You know what occupy means. If you are given the keys to a new house and you occupy the house, I know you're going to cut the grass, you're going to sweep your house, keep it clean, I hope. Occupying. To occupy is an active word. To occupy means you are not dormant. You are not, let me just sit here and wait. No. It means to busy oneself with something, to trade, to transact. That's how you occupy, to invest. What are you investing? You're investing your time. When you go cut the grass, when you go paint the outside, when you go, you know, wash your bathtub, or when you go vacuum the carpet, you are occupying. If you don't cut the grass and the grass is growing and the house is falling apart, guess what they call that kind of a house? You guessed it. It's called an abandoned property. Yes, that's what they call it. An abandoned property. The weeds are as high as the roof. Snakes and all kinds of stuff have made that place their abode. That's not a house that is occupied. That's an abandoned house. A house that is occupied is maintained. Is maintained in good standing. That's how you occupy. Now, oh man, my time is gone. Well, we're going to pick up on this next time by the grace of God. We're going to look at the other rendition of this parable. Beloved, till then, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen.